The first reading is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18. Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you.
And it's chapter 25, verses 1 to 13. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps, but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. At midnight, the cry rang out, "Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him." Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out." "No," they replied, "there may not be enough for both of us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves." But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. "Lord, Lord," they said, "open the door for us." But he replied, "Truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
I pray that the words of my lips, the thoughts of our hearts, may be acceptable to you, Lord. Amen. Today, as I'm sure you realise, we're here to mark 3 celebrations of remembering in the last 11 days. The first, of course, is on November 1st, which was All Saints' Day, when the church gave thanks for the lives of Christians who died because they were Christians. And today's church, us, hopefully learns from them and mimics their examples. On Sunday, it's bonfire night, and we gave thanks for the failure of a terrorist plot to blow up Parliament. It would have destroyed the embryonic democracy in England and, I think, prevented the development of the democracy that we know today, which you may not think is perfect, and I certainly don't, but it's probably the least bad arrangement. And today, we remember those who fought for us in 2 world wars and countless other smaller conflicts and gave their lives. And that form, their sacrifice, formed a foundation for life as we know it today. Yesterday was Armistice Day. I'm not going to talk about the conflicts that happened in London. But that marked the end of the First World War. You may be amused to hear that my father was born on the first anniversary of the armistice, November the 11th, 1919. Had this wonderful date of birth, 11-11-1919. And he was very nearly called Armistice. But his parents fortunately relented and he was named Ian. There is a tendency on Armistice Day, Remembrance Sunday, to only think back on the millions of men, women and children who suffered and died in the conflicts. My own family remembers my uncle Ralph, who flew mosquitoes over Germany, was shot down and trying to get back, crashed just short of the runway they were aiming for, and he was killed. My mother was in Coventry during the German Blitz and survived, although her father, my grandfather, died because there was inadequate medical care for him. And my father served in the RAF, first in the UK and was sent to India. He didn't see me till I was 3 years old. And I suspect most families have similar sorts of stories. And they're important. But also their importance lies in the way that they laid a foundation for us, for what followed, for today. Interviews of men and women who served in the armed force show that their loyalty was partly to their families, partly to the survival of our country, but more, from what I've heard, to the men and women who served alongside them, on whom they relied. And in combat units, if you can't rely on those who are around you to support you, to protect you, to be there for you, you're very significantly at risk. And this very desirable camaraderie is greater in combat units than in civilian life. But I would like to suggest that if part of that commitment to others, to those around us, is missing, then society in general and we as individuals are at great risk of disintegration. As a poet whose name I can't remember said, things fall apart, the centre cannot hold. So I suggest that on this Remembrance Sunday we both look back and look forward at what is to come. Because we know that conflict between groups and nations is dreadful, is cruel, is never constructive, always destructive. My mother, as I've already mentioned, lived through the Coventry Blitz. The result was widespread destruction of houses and workplaces and the death of thousands of people who were mourned by those left behind. And today we've only got to look at what's happening in Ukraine and Gaza and many other places that have probably slipped from our news but are still happening to see nothing has changed. In Gaza, thousands of innocents and a relatively few guilty have died. I think the world in which we live is in a mess worse than anything that I have experienced in my nearly 80 years. But there is an alternative. If you want to see what the opposite of the disaster that I've mentioned looks like, look at that man, Jesus, who showed by love in everything he said and did. Inspired by his Father, he healed people. He taught people how to live together, how to care for each other. And that choice of violence or peace was always with him. And he refused to be aggressive or physically fight others. When it came to the crunch, he allowed himself to be captured, tortured and killed, and then showed his Father's love for humanity, for God's wonderful, beautiful, fallible creation. He showed that love by his resurrection. The warfare that we have seen in many countries over the years, including the Great War, and can still see around us today, are one of the options to solving the tensions between nations and within nations. And if we recognise this option as being wrong, as being evil, the alternative of peace is not just the absence of conflict, but the positive building of love and cooperation. That's available. We could do it, but it's so difficult to make it happen. Humankind, is so sinful. I know I'm still trying to sell a platitude to you, but because each of us as individuals is incapable of changing things if Mr. Putin or Mr. Netanyahu or anyone else decides to wage war and their countries decide to follow them, there's nothing that we here in Buckingham can do about it. Yet there are life choices that we can make that will and do make a difference to people, can show Jesus' love in action. I hope and pray that there is someone here today who will have the ability and the opportunity to be in a position that enables him or her to make choices that will bring great good to others. And that's why we gather on this Remembrance Sunday 2023. We look back and remember those who fought for peace. We miss them. We mourn them. We give thanks for their sacrifice. And we look forward to our future. As we do that, we resolve to play our part, significant or not, in building a better world on the foundations that they have laid. Amen.